Good morning. Welcome to Grace and Truth International Fellowship. Sunday morning, and we want to anxious to hear what is God going to say. Well, Pastor, you ought to know. You're going to speak. Oh, it's going to come out of me, but I don't know what he's going to say. Trying to stay yielded to him and speak what he wants us to speak. So let us go to prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the praise, the worship. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know what we need before we need it. And you're our Father. You're our Father who is in heaven. And again, you just happen to be Almighty God. In other words, there's nothing impossible with you. But Lord, again, we just ask that you would help me, Lord, to just speak what you want me to speak. Lead me and guide me and direct me. And so we speak your words. Open all our ears, our hearts, our eyes, that we understand, that we see what you're saying, understand what you're saying. And that, God, your promise is to write those words on our heart. Put them in our minds so we are what we are, think of in our heart. So, Lord, we're depending, looking to you for this. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, praise God. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. No, actually not chapter 1. It's chapter 4, but it's verse 1. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, that I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Your job, or your part, your place in the body of Christ. And each one of us have a place. Each one of us. He doesn't save anybody to be a spare tire. You're part of the body. There's no part of your body that I don't want to get rid of my little finger or my little toe. I don't want to miss anything. And God doesn't want to miss anything. You're here for a reason. And what he has you, the reason he has you here is to be a part and a benefit to the body, to one another. Not through your might, not through your power, but through the Spirit of God that's inside of you. He put his Spirit in you. You're no longer what you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. The transforming comes because it takes a while. It's a process of getting rid of the flesh. Because the flesh is what hinders us. The flesh is where the enemy has a door into us. That's how he messes with our minds. That's how he messes with our thoughts and our feelings. That's the old nature. The flesh is the old nature. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And it's the truth. But Satan wants us to rely on the old boy. And, you know, whatever he thinks or whatever he feels, it wants the priority. But we're to put it to death, not in ourselves, but by the Spirit, Romans 8. If by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. Live, not just exist, but have life, and that more abundant. Your joy will be full. Why? Because you'll be fulfilling God's will and purpose for your life. And when we're saved, when we're not fulfilling his will and purpose in our life, that's how much joy we don't have that he wants us to have. There's joy in serving Jesus, and that's what he told his disciples. That's why Paul and Barnabas could sing when they were in the jail after being whipped and arrested unlawfully. So There's two kingdoms in this earth. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. You are now part of the kingdom of light. You're not an old, you're not part of that old nature. You're a new citizen. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Okay, and what's our prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. He's been dealing with me to pray that in the morning and believe it. I mean, believe it, like sense of, my flesh might not want to do what he wants me to do, but I'm praying that his will be done in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. And he, that is Almighty God, is greater than my dinky little flesh, okay? And he's bigger than your flesh. And that, like that song says, he can deliver the attic. He can deliver anything. He can deliver anybody from anything. He's Almighty God. We're not dealing with another God here with Satan. He's just a rebellious old spirit. He was on his way to hell. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. In that sense, he does that good. It's his nature. He knows how to deceive men. He knows how to just turn us to go this way or that way. But God's the one who's in charge. And as long as we're believing in him, trusting in him, that's why Paul could say, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You got a calling. God called you. You didn't come on your own. God called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Now with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So here he tells us how we're to do this in a sense of what's our attitude. It's with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing, or being patient one with another in love. because again, Satan wants to stir up strife. It's either in a marriage or in a company, no matter, or a country, right? We see it in our country. There's such a division. And it's because there's two opposite kingdoms here that are fighting against each other. And it's a war. It's going to be a fight to get us back where we need to be. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. But they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. I just want to jump over here for a minute on the pages. It's chapter 3 in Ephesians, verse 7. Wherefore, Paul said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I'll read this again. Whereof I was made. Made? What factory did you come out of? God made him this. Okay? I was made a minister according to what? The gift. The gift of what? Grace. It was God's grace. By grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. He started it with grace. It's finished with grace. It's not something we earned. It's not something we deserve. It's something that's given to us. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which is from the beginning of the world and hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, I missed verse 8, and that's what I wanted to... Verse 8, unto me... Okay, he's going to do these great things, these great mighty things, but this is his attitude. This is where he's at, and this is where God wants us to be at. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, I'm the least of the least. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. That's humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. Without God, I can't do anything. You can't do anything. You might want to do anything, do something, or you might want to change. You might want to do this. You might want to be like this. And like Paul said in Romans 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who's going to save me from this body of death? He came to this conclusion of the truth. He can't do it. Just like Jesus said in John 5, I can of my own self do nothing. But I can do, He can do all things through Christ who strengthens Him. Amen. So God wants to strengthen you and me to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, so he always brings up the things that are wrong with you. And there are things that are wrong with you. But it doesn't help, because Satan wants you to try to fix yourself. God wants you to believe in Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, why don't you ask God to strengthen you? Never thought of that. No, He expects me to do this. You know, He expects you to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Put your faith in Him. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Yes, He will. Because He's faithful. Amen? When I say it, and then I don't believe it, like 10 minutes later, I find myself, because Satan's going to be there to try to pull you back over here in the flesh where he can control you. And he'll let you think that you're doing okay when you're not. Because God loves you, He'll keep working on you. God's faithful. He keeps working on us. He doesn't want us to miss out on what He has for us. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, putting up with one another in love. Endeavoring, because there's things that sometimes rub us the wrong way, okay? But He wants us to meet it in love. Amen? Through love. Faith that worketh by love. And so, as God forgives us, we're to forgive others. 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, that tells me that it's a job, it's a work, But it's to try to keep the peace. Why? Because Satan is actively working to make trouble, to bring friction. And so we see our brother or sister do something, or we hear something that they did wrong, or we see them do something that did wrong, Satan is the accuser of that brethren, and he's going to get you to start to judge that person. That's not right. Da, 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 da. And then right away you put up this wall. You let this wall in there. And it's going to hinder God's ability to work in you and through you and through the other person. Again, this is why he says it's endeavoring. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. We're serving the same Lord. We're serving the same God. Amen? So, okay, and it's not like our church is the only church. It isn't the only church. There's a lot of other churches. Just as good, but it's just because we're all called according to God's grace. Now, those that are not following God, if we see even a brother or a sister do something or doing something that's not right, we're to pray for them. And that's what it says. If we see our brother sin, a sin is not unto death, we're to pray for them, and God will give them life. God will give them life. Okay. In 2 Timothy I thought I had it marked here. I was in First Timothy. Yeah. And it says this, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. This is a trick of the enemy to, you know, what about this thing? Who did Cain marry? You know, did all, you know, they can't fit all those animals on the ark. Anything but wanting to know the truth. And the servant, but now listen, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's what they're doing. They're opposing themselves when they're believing a lie, when they're going the wrong way. And even, especially if it's a brother or sister that's, you know, gets, Satan has gotten them off track. And they're going to believe a lie, but we're to pray for them. And then if we have an opportunity to say something, we're to do it in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So when we pray, we're asking God to grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Because if we think we can talk them into it, you can't. But if our faith is in God and we pray first, and then if we have the opportunity to say something, we say whatever we feel God wants us to say, but we can't make them do it. There's this testimony of this guy that was in a gang. I forget where exactly, it was out in the Midwest somewhere. Anyways, in this gang in this city, he got saved. And so they took him out on a street ministry, and they were handing out, and they were just having him hand out pamphlets. He, you know, he's just a new Christian, and so he's handing out these pamphlets, and one guy takes the pamphlet and looks at it, and I don't know if he said something to him or something, but he just threw it on the ground. Well, the guy just jumped on him, and you will read this, and you, they had to pull him off. Because he was used to dealing with people that way. But that's not how we're to deal with them. Amen? Because we're not going to change their mind that way. But, okay. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, peradventure God would grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Because when their eyes are opened, they understand. Just like Peter saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And again, like we said about last night, I didn't know what, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know. I'm not getting any specific place here. You know, where do you want me to go? I wake up this morning and I know where I'm going. And that's not me, it's him. And that's what I want. I want to hear what he wants to say. There's a lot of things to talk about. There are very important things. But the most important thing is to say what God is saying. And that's what he wants to do with you and with me. He says he wants to put his word in your mouth. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do here. Again, he's using an earthen vessel, so it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And in fact, Paul said in Romans, or no, second, in 1 Corinthians, I didn't come to you in the wisdom of man, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, Paul was relying on the Spirit of God granting these people repentance more than in the fact that he could wow them with his intelligence. Because if you convince somebody against their will and you talk them into it, somebody can talk them out of it. But when the Holy Ghost does it, that's that's God. And that's going to stick with them. His word, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we just keep receiving His word with meekness, it will continue to save, continue to deliver our soul from the flesh. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. The spirit's okay. The soul is, can get very emotional, can get out of... I ran across this yesterday, and I remember some of these names I've heard, and they're solid Christians. I mean, they've been around for a long time, and they're well known as prophetic. And but they were talking, they had formed this group, and they wanted to warn fellow believers to... It says, let the prophet speak two or three, let the others judge. Okay? The prophets speak. Now, everybody can prophesy in a sense of speaking the word of God and what God is saying. But to have an office of the prophet, let the prophet speak, that's what he's talking about there. But anyway, these people are known as prophets, okay? In the kingdom of God, they are known as prophets. But they talked it over amongst themselves, and they came out and said, we have to warn people. These prophets are, and they said what they're saying, but they didn't get, they wouldn't tell you who it was. But they wanted to warn the body of Christ, because it says, there's many, going to be, in the end times, many false prophets are going to come, and we're to discern. Don't just receive everything. You got to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And is this from God or isn't from God? Okay. So, because what they were saying, it didn't match up with things that, how they try. And so they gave scripture for what they believed and what da-da-da-da-da. But anyway, I just want to say this because, oh, that guy I mentioned before about the guy read that woman's life. You know, he didn't know her, and he just spoke about everything she went through, and then what God was going to do. And I mean, that was God speaking through him, and he had that reputation that when he gave a prophetic word, it was right on. And now the guy that shared that now has a church somewhere down south, and very well-known Christian, very steady, very, you know, and he is used that way too. And you know what he said? And then I heard that last night too when I came and ran across this thing, because this old guy, he's the head of this thing, but he's been around for many years, many, many years. And he says, I never give a word of knowledge to somebody I know. And that's what this guy said. Because this guy that he heard from the pulpit, later on, he went haywire. He just went haywire. But what he was saying was the reason he didn't do it, anyway, I'll have to go through this now. There was a woman in his church. I don't think he was a pastor at that time. He was assistant pastor anyway, but he was up front. And this woman came to get healed, and she, they knew her. I mean, she was in the church and everything. And they had this man that came every summer to have healing meetings. And people were getting healed. I mean, he was an honest, true believer. So when she came up, He really felt, you know, he felt this emotion, you know, and he came up and he put his hands on her and he just said, you know, this summer you're going to be touched and you're going to be healed. And of course everybody was just, wow. Well, the guy came and people were healed. But she wasn't healed. So you know where her faith went, right? And he says, you know, his pastor took him in and reprimanded him, you know, why did you do this? So now when he has a church, he says, sometimes he says, I go speak somewhere else, and he says, some of the members will go over there, and so, you know, they're, and they said, well, you never do that at our church. He says, but I know what you're going through. I know. And so your flesh, your emotions get tied up with when you know the people, and it colors them. I heard is another one was somebody was going before trial and they gave her a prophecy and said that, well, you were going to be let off. In source, they were really happy. So they went to the trial and they weren't let off. Then it's the opposite. You can't believe anybody. No, that's not the truth. But we are to, what it was, and it wasn't that the person that was telling her this was evil in a sense. It's just the fact that that's what she wanted in her heart. She wanted her to be, you know, just the way we would want that. But she was swayed by her feelings. And that's the flesh. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Spirit. And so, again, another one is when Jesus was walking and they went to this village and they said, no, we don't want you to come in here, you know, and they said, and then I think it was one of John said, shall we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And then Jesus said, you don't, it's almost like get thee behind me like Peter, but what he didn't say, that you don't know what spirit you're of. But his emotion was, you know, but we want to yield ourselves to God. And so as we grow in God, so let me finish this here. So the servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves peradventure. God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive at his will. So the person becomes strong enough that they're able to resist the enemy. They're able to resist it. But if we become their providence, or we become their God, if we think we got to do this, keep them, it isn't that. It's God's going to keep them because he's doing it. And so again, we're putting our faith in God. Amen? Not in a man. Not in a person. In God. And so there's a right way and a wrong way. So we got to see this. So there's one body, even as one spirit, are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Every one of us have a gift. It's something that's given to you from God. And we have to learn through the Spirit how to use it, when to use it, and it's for the building up according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And it's according to what God gives you, but you have it. It's above your ability. It's above your what you about you. It's God given to you. And it's to bring glory to God. It's for the building up of the body. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He descended, and the same also is ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, when he says here, he's talking about prophets. He's talking about the office of a prophet. Just like an apostle has an office in the church or a position. He's talking about a prophet. It's prophet. Not just somebody that gives a prophetic word. I don't consider myself a prophet, and I don't think I would call Betty a prophet, but she's prophesying, and Michelle. The same, and some evangelists, whoever God, but see, anybody can prophesy, anybody can give somebody a word from God, and that doesn't make them a prophet, okay? Now, but it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's being changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But this is where God's headed. But the gift that He's given you, we need. Everyone needs it. You need it. I need it. I need you to pray for me. I need to pray for you. We need to lift up one another. And the gift that God has given you, you need to ask, you know, seeking God to help you to use it. And see, it all starts out. We go back to what it says here in the third chapter here. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, and to make all men see what is a fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that might now unto the principalities and the powers in heaven, places, heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what He wanted him to do is exceeding abundantly above what Saul, who became Paul, could do. It was God in him. It was God in him bringing about to the intent that now unto principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, that they might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, that through the church even these principalities and powers would know that God's real, and they would be challenged, the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. He's not doing it just with angels. He's doing it. He wants to do it through you and through me. Can you imagine how humiliating this would be for Satan, who once had you under his thumb, for God to call you out of the darkness, put His Spirit in you, God's Spirit, part of the Godhead. Now you are the sons of God. You know what Satan was before he was the Satan? Became the devil, the accuser of the brethren. He's the archangel. That's all. You're a child of God. You and I are the children of the Most High God. Amen? It doesn't seem like it here, but we're in the world. We're under the kingdom of the darkness, but we're here to subdue Him, not in our might, not in our power, but as many as are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So this is why Paul, again, in Romans 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. I see things. I see something. He reveals something in my life, and I say, I don't want this. You know, I wish I could believe, or I wish I could do this better. I think I'm going to do that better. And we all need to grow. We all need to grow. Amen? Because this is where God is going to be magnified, in us becoming in the image of Jesus Christ. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, as we read this morning, that the prophecy was that God was going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. Amen? But there's different gifts, different given, different gifts given to the body of Christ, and each one of the gifts are needed. They're needed, and it needs to be, they need to be used. But we got to remember that this old nature has to be, because we're told in Galatians, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so they cannot do the things that you would. So, you know, we read this in here, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. And, you know, sometimes we get aggravated with certain people. And I'll tell on myself, I guess. Sometimes my wife doesn't hear me. And so I say it once, I say it twice, and a third time, I'm trying to hear. What are you yelling at me for? Well, I shouldn't get that. That's not the Spirit of God. That's my flesh. Can you see that? Huh? Yeah, it's my flesh. I shouldn't be like that. So and then I got to humble myself. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I haven't done that all the time now. It's telling the truth. But what God wants to do is, He doesn't want me to squash it. He wants to take it out of me. He wants to take it out of you. And God can do it. Amen? That song. Does God do miracles? Can He heal anybody physically? Huh? Yes, we believe that, right? Yes. Well, He can heal me spiritually too. That's why it says, if by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. You're going to have life. And that more abundantly. And your joy is going to be full and your peace is going to be complete with trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome. Amen? And we glory in tribulation also. What? I don't want any more. I don't want any more. I'm over here. I don't want any more. Paul says, I glory in tribulation also, knowing tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart. Because when you go through something, you get a reward. When you defeat the enemy, even your flesh, there's a reward. There's a spoil. Now you're closer to God. And you smell better. You look better. You're getting more and more, you're looking more and more like Jesus, because it's a process of being turned, changed into His image from glory to glory. Amen? We don't want to give up and say, well, that's just the way that I am. I was raised this way, I was this way, da 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 da. There's always reasons. Satan always has reasons why you're sick, why you act like this, why da da da. That's reasonable, but that's Satan. God's unreasonable. He does miracles. Like the prophecy, He chooses the things that are not to confound the things that are. That's why He chose you. Shouldn't look at anybody, but He's why He chose us. Amen? Amen? He wants to show who? Himself strong. So Paul, in your weakness, he's praying to God. He's an apostle. Hey, man, he's an apostle. He can take it. He's praying to God, take this thing from me. And He says, that's okay. My grace is sufficient for you. I think He said it three times. Didn't He? Something like that. Why did He say it three times? Because He didn't want it, right? I don't want it. But then He said, okay, then, I'll glory in mine infirmities so that the power of God might rest upon me. So what do I want? Ice cream and cake? Or do I want to be like that song, squeezed grapes? Amen? The power of God might, because God's not, He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. He wants me to overcome. He wants you to overcome. He's there to be with you to overcome. He's there to make you overcome. Nothing is impossible with your God. Amen? Praise God. So, it's 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So this is God's purpose, for perfecting you, Him perfecting you, not you perfecting yourself. You can't get rid of the old flesh yourself. You have to do it through the Spirit. So we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, because those people that are doing that are under the control of Satan, and that's exactly what Satan's trying to do, is keep us divided and keep us messed up so that we can't use the Spirit the way God wants us to use the Spirit. Or maybe I should put it this way. The Spirit can't use us the way He wants to use us. He wants to use us. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Amen? Wow! I almost went backwards. So it just, praise God! He's for you. He's for me. He wants us to shine. He wants us to be salt and light in this world. Amen? Amen? And so you can be confident of this very thing. He that begun a good work in you, he wants to perfect it under the day of Jesus Christ. This is His will. This is His will. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we need to see this in the back of our heads, like, that's right, you're changing me. You want to change me, and I want to be changed. I want to be changed. Humble myself and pray, and then He'll turn you from your wicked way through the Spirit, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? You can even overcome the flesh, overcome your old nature, put it to death, and so you're living unto God. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, not according to your power, not according to my power, not according to your intelligence, not according to my intelligence, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's a self, it's perpetual motion. It's self-generating. But the Spirit's in everything. The Spirit's in you, the Spirit's in me. And when we're all acting together, like a well-oiled machine, it's going to bring forth glory to God. Amen? Exceeding abundantly. All right, that's the end. We're at the end. But I've got to read these. I got to read this to you. We're going back to chapter 3. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have a boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, or other translations say the faith in Him. But it's you could almost use both of them, I think. The faith of Him and the faith in Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my, Paul's, tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, this is Paul, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that Christ would actually dwell there. That's close. Amen? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Yes. But if I'm back and forth, you know, just like asking for wisdom, but a double-minded man can't receive anything. So he's trying to get us over here where he can fulfill the call, the purpose, the promises, okay? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend his, get this, understand it with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know, to experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge. For what reason? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I got a ways to go. So do you. So do we. Amen? But God wants us to get there. He just doesn't want us to go along with status quo. He wants us to lift up. Keep looking unto Jesus. Keep looking unto him, and he's going to show us things in his word. He's going to show us promises. He's going to show us these. Different people are going to get different things, but each person has a gift, and God's going to reveal the things that you need to know so that this body can become everything that God wants it to be, and he wants it to be a body that brings honor and glory and praise to his name. Amen? Amen? It isn't that we become popular, or it's not about us at all. It's about him. Amen. The Spirit is in you. Just like we read about these people on the day of Pentecost when they're filled with the Spirit. They're all talking about the wonderful works of God. Amen. Not the apostles, but God. And that's what God wants to do with you and with me by the Spirit that's in us. Amen. Praise God. Okay. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able. Do you believe he's able? Do you believe he's able to do it to you? You got to believe it. It might take all your faith, but that's a good place to bend it, to spend it. Believe him. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. Wow. There's power in you. There's power in me to raise the dead when it's time. Because it isn't going to be you. It's going to be Christ in you. And even Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil because God was with him. Amen. And he was anointed by God. That he had all the gifts. He had everything. But now we have different gifts, different things in the body. But we need every one of them. And we all need to be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. You made a way, Lord. You want us to be one in you. You want us, Lord, to be using these gifts. So you didn't give us gifts just to set on the shelf or to say, I can do this or I can do this. But God, to infect each one of us in this body, not only then, it's going to overflow. Let's use that. It's going to overflow out to the wherever we go. Your presence will go. In this darkness, wherever we walk is going to be light because of your presence, your presence in us. That's where you're headed. That's what you want, that we would be witnesses unto you. We are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we might show forth the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So, Lord, you started the work in you, in us, and the promise is that you're going to finish it. You're going to complete it. You're going to perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for calling us. We thank you for choosing us, and we want to believe you. We help our unbelief. We believe it Help our unbelief. We want to accomplish what your will and purpose is in each one of our lives. We ask this now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yes, to God be the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.